very thankful for the opportunity to be with you here at Bethel Church. I'm so thankful for your hospitality, for those of you who have come and shook my hand and thanked me for coming and to let me know you're praying for me. I appreciate that. I also appreciate the hospitality of one of the good police members of the Goodlettsville town there. I won't go into detail, but just I thank the Lord for him. Thankful to be with your pastor. We've gotten to be very close friends over the years, and remember hearing Elder Ronald Lawrence preach when I was a very young boy. And at that time, he was at North Carolina. He was a young man himself, so if you think I'm talking about him being old, no, I was just young, and he was young too, so much younger in his ministry there. Brother Ronald will have me very much many years, so I'm not saying that. And also thankful to be with a very good friend of mine, Elder Ronnie Loudermilk from North Carolina. Do ask you pray for this part of the service. I'm thankful to the Lord for the safe travel here. We do ask that you pray for us. I'd like to call your attention for a little while this evening to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. I always try to do a disclaimer when I preach. I'm known to be just a little blunt. That's my manner. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone here tonight. I point a finger at you, I'm pointing three back at me. So I often preach to myself. If I do hurt your feelings, I pray that you would not leave this church building without addressing me first. I didn't travel from Mississippi to come to hurt anyone's feelings. I come to worship the one who is worthy of everything we have to offer, which is not much. But we can offer the best that we have, and we should offer the best that we have. The Lord is worthy of all our praise. Book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." I've only read the first three verses there, and already the word down has been used twice. He went down to Joppa, and he went down into the ship. Friends, there's a very important point I want to get across to you tonight, very clear, very concise, very quickly, is when you go away from the presence of the Lord, you are going down. You're going down. I don't quite understand why anyone would want to go away from the presence of the Lord. We need His presence. We move and have our being because of His presence. By the way, He is everywhere present and nowhere absent, so He's there. But Jonah was trying to flee from His presence. But there's not a place you can go that the Lord's not with you. You may can hide things from your loved ones, but you can't hide things from God. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what condition you're in. And He knows everything about you, every intricate detail about you. But Jonah wants to disobey the Lord. He does not want to go to where he's been told to go preach to Nineveh, that wicked city. Friends, if the Lord lays upon your heart to do something, friends, let me go ahead and give you some advice tonight. Do it. John chapter 2, the first miracle that's recorded that Jesus performed was when he turned the water into wine. Remember that? You remember his mother came to him and said, they don't have any wine. And he said, woman, what have I to do with thee? You remember what she told the servants? She said, whatever he says to do, do it. I tell you what, that's about as good as advice as I can tell you. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, do it. If he places someone on your heart tonight to pray for, just stop and do it. If he tells you to pick up the phone and call someone to check on them, let them know you love them, do it. You don't know what impact you can have on people's lives when you reach out and touch them and you listen to what the Lord would have you to do. And by the way, see, Satan is always going right opposite to what the Lord would have you to do. He wants you to think, I'm not significant. I don't have a purpose in this church. I'm not called on to lead the singing. I'm not called on to offer public prayer. Let me tell you, you're significant from the least one, when I say the least, the youngest one in this church tonight, to the oldest one here, you are significant. I want you to understand that. I was at a service one time and I was preaching, I try to be an encourager everywhere I go. There is enough beating us down in this world that we don't need to be discouraged when we come to the house of the Lord. I was preaching at the Good Hope Association. I know Brother Ronald is very familiar with what I'm talking about, a church called Mount Hebron in Purvis, Mississippi. There's a sister sitting there about where the sister is with a red vest on right there, and she's sitting on one of these walkers that turns into a chair also. You know what I'm talking about? And I mentioned how she's an encouragement to me. You could tell she didn't feel like being in the house of the Lord that day. You could tell it. And I mentioned how she was an encouragement to me about being in the house of the Lord. And when the service was over, one of the deacons from that church in that area came to me with tears just streaming down his face. And he said, Brother Myers, you know how much that meant that you mentioned her? He said, let me tell you something about that woman. Let me tell you about that sister. She can't hear anything. So she didn't hear a word you said. But she said, her daughter brought her, and her daughter asked her, said, Mom, why do you want to go to church? You can't hear anything. And the mother said, but I can feel it. You get that? I tell you, my friends, when I go into the house of the Lord, when the presence of the Lord is there, I feel something. I'm like Elder Ricky Harcrow from Alabama. I want a religion I can feel. I don't want to come to the house of the Lord and leave just like I left. I want to leave a little better. I want to leave being stirred up. I told Brother Ronald, we were talking at his home, and he said, you brethren have any preference? And I tell Brother Ronnie all the time, I like to go first. Reason is if I got something on my mind and he preaches something else, then I start thinking about something else and I get confused. I'm like a termite in a yo-yo. I get confused. So I'd rather stay on the same train of thought. Also, I'm not listening like I should. And let me tell you, you may not believe this, but I believe every preacher that's in his right mind loves to hear good preaching. I believe that. He don't like just to hear himself all the time. I get tired of hearing myself. My daughter told me not too long ago, my oldest daughter is 28, said, Dad, I've heard you enough. Hey, I like it. I'll be honest with me. Don't pull the wool over my eyes or try to anyway. But you see, Jonah went down. He didn't go where the Lord told him to go. He went down. But you know what you're going to find out? He's going to continue to go down. Because he goes down to Joppa, he goes down to the ship, then he goes down into the ship. And the Lord causes a great storm to come. And even these heathens who were calling to their own gods, my friends, tried the best they could to get that boat to safety. They call upon their gods. And one of the men walked down to where Jonah was asleep. And so, won't you call on your God, capital G-O-D? There's an important note right there, friends. There is only one capital G-O-D. You get that? If you don't learn anything what I've said tonight, remember that. I think you already know it. I do know your pastor, by the way, so I know what you hear, okay? I believe he teaches you there's one God. Yes, indeed. You know what happens, right? They cast lots. They cast lots. And the lot falls on Jonah. Now what happens? They cast him down into the ocean. You see how one bad decision has affected Jonah? Just one bad decision. He didn't want to go preach to Nineveh. Why not? Let me go ahead and tell you. Look, I want to put you in on some information here. I won't charge you nothing for this. This is Southwest Mississippi Logic 101. If God places on your heart to do something, He's already worked on the other end. You get that? You know what happens when Jonah does go to Nineveh, right? What happens? I believe he's well received. You think he is well received because he was that good of a minister? Or you think the Lord worked on the other end? Lord is not going to tell you to do something that you can't be successful at. He's not going to lead you down a road that's going to lead you to a wrong place. Friends, He's going to be with you each step of the way. And Jonah goes down. He goes down to the sea, and then he goes down into the belly of the whale. And I've had discussions with people, and they said, "Brother Ricky, it's a great fish." Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. You can take it whatever how you want to, okay? I will say a whale. That's what Jesus said. And I will take Jesus' word over yours. Okay? Like I said, I'm a little blunt. I'm sorry if I'm a little blunt, but that's just the way I see it. That's what Jesus said. You remember they sought for a sign? Yeah, those folks there wanted a sign. He said, "I'll give you a sign." As Jonas was in the whale's belly for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So we see that his disobedience is going to cause him much trouble. You know what happens, right? You've read the book. You know that Jonah is swallowed by that whale, and that whale spits him up. You know he goes and preaches. But let me tell you something. And there's one point I want to get across tonight for the few minutes I'm going to stand before you. This is it. When you make a decision, it doesn't just affect you. Last time I was here, I came in the church and I saw Brother Larry and Sister Bosch, and I said, "Wait a minute, what are they doing here? I met them in California. What are they doing in Nashville, Tennessee? That's a long way from California." Well, this time, I come and one of the first person I see is Brother Henry Ruggio and Sister Thelma. They're from Louisiana. And I ask the same question, what are they doing here? I know they moved to Tennessee, but I didn't know where. And we talked. But Brother Henry and I, no, we come kind of around from some same place, so to speak. We know a lot back home down there. We began to talk about churches that have closed their doors. Friends, I'm a member of a little small church back in Brookhaven, Mississippi. It's called Antioch Primitive Baptist Church. And let me go ahead and tell you this. I pray that when I'm dead and gone, if the Lord hadn't come back, those church doors are still open. I care about what happens when I'm gone. I don't just have a place for me to worship while I'm here, friends. I want it for the generations to come. But I believe sometimes the choices we make, we're not thinking about those choices that we make. See, the choice that Jonah made, if it only affected Jonah, that's one thing. But when it affects different people, friends, you better take into consideration what you're doing. Because Jonah's going to affect a lot of people. He's going to affect every man on that ship. Think if he would have went to where the Lord told him to go to start with. Would they have been affected? They wouldn't have been affected. You see, I see some young men that sitting by their wives. And let me tell you, I'm jealous. I'm envious. I got to Brother Ronald's house. One of the first things I did is I messaged my wife to let her know I made it safely. And she said, "I hope you have a good time." And I said, "I would have a better time if you were here." She said, "No, you have a better time if you're by yourself." I said, "No, I don't. I don't." I'm going to tell you, friends, I love sitting by my wife in the church. My youngest daughter is a senior in high school. She's doing a fundraiser, and my wife and I sat on the love seat the other night. I enjoyed it. I let her know I enjoy sitting on the love seat. I have a recliner, and I watch TV with my eyes closed, and she's over in her recliner. But we were looking at this fundraiser together, sitting close, and I smooched her, and my daughter's a senior, said, "Yuck." I said, "That ain't yuck to me, baby." No, not at all. Friends, the choices that we make today affect not just us. Our obedience to God will affect those in the future. Brother Ronald made a statement that this church is 100 and something years old. Isn't that what you said, Brother Ronald? The church that I'm a member of was founded in 1870. You young folks, don't answer this question, okay? All right, don't answer. How many of y'all think I was alive back in 1870? Reason I put it that way is my brother taught history, and he was talking about the Civil War, and one of the students asked him, was he living back then? My brother's just a little bit older than me. He wasn't alive during the Civil War, you see. Kids and age don't mean a whole lot to them. I wasn't even around. I wasn't around almost 100 years later. I was born in 63. You say, "Brother Ricky, what's your point?" You think there were some laborers there that was put into having a place to worship? Their choice that they made to constitute a church there in Brookhaven, Mississippi? And these brothers have been there. They know what it's like. I almost said something I shouldn't have said. It's the best place in America. I know I'm in Tennessee, okay? I know that. But I tell you, if you don't think this is the best place, you're in the wrong place. If this is your home church, is what I'm saying. Okay? That's the point I'm trying to make. But let's pay attention to the choices that we make in this life. You understand this? I'm not just a pastor. I'm also a husband. I'm also a father. I'm an uncle. I almost said I was an aunt, but I'm not an aunt. I have some nieces, but I'm an uncle to my nieces. I'm a friend. I'm a brother in Christ. And the choices that I make not only affect me, but they affect the churches that I pastor. They affect my family. Every one of them. My mother, who's still living. My dad's passed away, but my mother. I hope I can get just a little personal here with you. I'm not here to offend anyone. I want you to get that clear. That's not my style. But do you want to have a place for your children to worship in the future? Let me tell you, they learn by what you do, not what you say. You know, church was important to my mother and my daddy. When I was growing up, it wasn't, "Are we going to church?" It was, "Where are we going to church?" I've heard, my brother disagrees with this, but I heard a preacher say one time when he was a kid, he had a drug problem. I did too. I was drugged to church whether I wanted to go or not. See, I wasn't one who wanted to go. The only thing I liked about church when I was young was the food. I was praying the preacher would hurry up and be quiet so we could go eat. My brother said he's always enjoyed church. My brother's a pastor too, in case you don't know. But you know, there came a time I began to love the church. The church is more about what you're going to get when church is over. You know, you can get natural food anywhere to sustain you. But you can't get spiritual food just anywhere. Amen. I've had conversations with people before, and they said, "Brother Ricky, so I can have just as good as church service on the deer stand," and I'm not pointing fingers if you're a deer hunter, okay? This brother was a deer hunter. He said, "I can have just as good as church service on the deer stand as you can in the church." I said, "I beg to differ." He said, "Brother, I can pray." He said, "I can sing." "I'm not sure about singing." unless you're just singing quietly. I don't think you want to be singing out loud. The deer probably ain't going to come to you, but, you know, I didn't go there with him. You can read your scripture. But the Lord has promised to be with you where you gather together in his name. I'll pick on Brother Ronald and myself. We both like to play golf. If you don't believe it, go look in my trunk or my daughter's trunk. I'm in her car. My golf clubs are in the trunk. Don't look at nothing else, though. my clubs are in the trunk of my daughter's car. Brother Ronald and I get a chance, I have a feeling we might sneak off. But let me tell you something. That game will never, ever come before the service of the Lord. I want my children to understand how important the service of the Lord is. I don't know about you, but I've had enough of this life. Sister Karen was talking to us when we got there, and by the way, there was quite a bit of conversation there at their home, so everybody was trying to talk at the same time at one point. But we were talking about listening to the news. Have you had a bait of it? I do a talk show on Wednesday nights. Sports talk show for high school football. And we got a couple of JUCO community colleges in our area. We talk a lot of SEC. On Wednesday nights, it's called the Wednesday Night Blitz. On a talk radio station. And you know, I turn that radio station on every once in a while. And you may think, you're crazy. I get tired of hearing the conservative talk. Of them bashing the liberals all the time. I don't mind you telling me where you stand, but to constantly bash somebody, is that doing any good? No, it's not. It's not doing anybody any good. Friends, what's going to do good is when we obey God. We need to obey what God tells us to do. He tells us to present our bodies, living sacrifices unto God, which is our reasonable service. He's not asking us to do anything unreasonable. He's asking us something that we're capable of doing. A living sacrifice. We're not taking our life. We're living sacrifices. I hear all the time about priorities. What are your priorities? Sometimes I get concerned about my own priorities because I spend more time watching reruns than I do in God's Word. What about you? Paul wrote to a young preacher by the name of Timothy to study, to show thyself approved unto God. You're not studying to show how much you've learned to me. You're studying to show God. See, my dad's passed away. What I wouldn't give for an opportunity to sit and talk with him one more time. You know what this is right here? This is a letter from my Heavenly Father to me. If I have a problem in my life, I promise you the answer is right there. There's not a thing that I'm going through that I can't find the answer right here. The answer is here. You may be having problems with finances. You may have a problem with your children. Your children may be having problems at school. See, I'm a retired school teacher. I know all about it. I know about bullies. I know about all these things. But the Lord knows everything about you. And he's right there with you. He tells you how to handle these things. Call upon the Lord while he's nigh. Come unto me, all ye that labor. How many of you are laboring today? I ain't talking about you got a job, my friends. I'm talking about how many of you are toiling in this life with things that are going on in this life. My heart is broken for Brother Ronnie's family and the tragic loss of his nephew. My heart's broken. And I'm going to tell you, when he turned around and told me that, my prayer increased a little more for this brother tonight. That he may have the grace to keep his thoughts on the Lord. I have one nephew on my side of the family. And he's very special to me. He's my brother's son. I don't have any sons. I have three girls. One of Brother Ronald's sons has three boys, right? Yeah. I'll take three girls over three boys any day of the week. Go ahead and let you know. A little drama, but that's it. There's no fighting, busted lips, and all that kind of stuff. But I want to get across to you tonight that when you're going away from the presence of the Lord, two simple points. When you're going away from the presence of the Lord, you're going down. You're descending. Number two, that when you are disobedient to what God would have you to do, it doesn't just affect you. I've heard people say, if I miss church, they're not going to miss me. Said who? Amen. Said who? You want me to tell you who said that? Satan. That's who said it. I don't think Brother Ronald ever said, I'm glad they missed church. I don't think Brother Ronnie, when some of his church members missed, he said, boy, I'm glad they wasn't there. I pastor small churches. I'm thankful when every member's there. Pastor of church one time had Elder Gary Rose to come fill in for me. He said, Brother Ricky, what do I expect? I said, I expect 100% of the membership to be there. There wasn't but 11. He said, Brother Ricky, said, even with 11, they won't have 100%. I said, okay. I said, I will tell you this much, though. If one of them's not there, the rest of them will know where that person is. He called me on that Sunday afternoon. He said, Brother Ricky, I owe you an apology. I asked the deacon what percentage of the membership was there. He said, 100%. You see, what people don't understand is when you join this church, you made a covenant with it. You made a covenant that you're going to obey God and not man. That when the Lord, what a blessing it is to see you here tonight on a Thursday night. What a blessing. Talk to several who's traveled a distance to be here. What a blessing. See, the blessing's yours. And when you don't obey God, trust me, you're the first one to lose the blessing. You're the first one. You're the one's going to suffer first. But then it doesn't just affect you, it affects all those around you. I pray that we don't do that. I pray that when the Lord returns, there'll still be people meeting right here at this church. I pray they're meeting on a little old hill back in southwest Mississippi called Antioch Primitive Baptist Church. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not selfish. I pray that all churches keep their doors open. I don't know about you, but if I didn't have church, I don't know what I would do. May the Lord bless you.